Welcome back. In this lesson, we're diving into a very specific, very tasty jungle and old-school DNB move, building an air horn hit offset approach in Ableton Live 12 using macro controls creatively. And right away, let's reframe the air horn a little. In this style, it's not just a joke sound, and it's definitely not just a random stab. It's a warning shot. It can mark a phrase, drive tension before the drop, or act like that rude little call-and-response moment that makes a rewind feel almost unavoidable. So the goal here is to make the horn feel like it's landing against the groove in a controlled way, not just dropped on the grid. We want it to slide, lean, arrive a little early or a little late, and then snap into the rhythm with attitude. We're going to build a rack-based system in Ableton Live 12 where one horn sample can be shaped with macros for offset, tone, dirt, space, width, and tension. That way, instead of one static horn hit, you get a flexible transition tool you can reuse in jungle, rollers, darker halftime, and old-school DNB builds. First, choose a strong source. You want a short, rude air horn or a synth stab, something with a fast transient and a bit of aggression. Don't go for a huge cinematic brass hit here. That's a different vibe. For this style, the sample should feel like it belongs in a rave system or a sound clash moment. Load the sample into Sampler on a MIDI track, keep it in one-shot or classic mode, and start the playback point close to the transient. If the sample already has a clean attack, you can keep the fade very short or turn it off. The idea is to make this behave like a stab, not like a pad or a long brass swell. If the sample feels too polite, add a little saturator after Sampler. Even just a couple of dB of drive can give it more bite. And that's important in jungle, because the horn needs to cut through busy breaks and thick bass without turning into mush. Now group the horn and its effects into an instrument rack or an audio effect rack. This is where the real power comes in, because the macros let you shape the horn like a performance instrument instead of editing every device separately. Set up a few main devices after the horn source: auto filter, saturator, echo or delay, hybrid reverb or reverb, and maybe a utility for width control. You want the rack to stay clean and functional. This is a practical transition tool, not a science project. Now map your macros. A really useful setup is macro 1 for offset, macro 2 for tone, macro 3 for dirt, macro 4 for space, macro 5 for width, macro 6 for tension. The offset macro is the heart of this lesson. Here's the idea. Ableton doesn't give you one single magic offset knob for every type of timing shift, so we build the feeling using a combination of sample start, track delay, envelope shaping, and effect timing. That means you can make the horn feel like it lands slightly before or after the MIDI note without changing the musical placement too much. For your offset macro, map it to things like Sampler's sample start, track delay, and maybe the filter opening point. You can also let a little of the effect space bloom behind the dry hit so the horn feels like it's arriving in layers. A practical trick is this: place the MIDI note exactly on the bar line, then use the macro to make the audible body of the horn land a few milliseconds late. That slightly late feel can make it sound nastier, more human, and more blue to the breakbeat swing. And that's a really important point. In DNB, micro-timing matters. A horn that is perfectly rigid can feel flat. A horn that pushes and pulls against the groove feels alive. So think of offset not just as fixing timing, but as a groove decision. Next, let's shape the tone. Your tone macro should control the horn's brightness and movement. Map it to auto filter frequency, maybe a little resonance, and if needed a subtle EQ shelf in the upper range. Start dark, then open it up as the build develops. For example, you might start the filter around the low mid range and sweep it up into the brighter high range over an 8-bar build. In a 16-bar intro, you can make the motion slower and use the horn more sparingly, maybe just on phrase ends. This is where the sound starts to feel like a proper riser instead of just a stab repeated over and over. As the tone opens up, the horn feels like it's charging toward the drop. If it gets too harsh, don't just kill the whole thing with volume. Often the better move is a small EQ, cut in the ugly zone, usually somewhere around the upper mids. That keeps the energy while removing the pain. Now let's add dirt. The dirt macro is your attitude knob. Map it to saturator drive, maybe it a little dry slash wet if you want a parallel feel, and keep the range musical. You want grit, not destruction. A little drive goes a long way here. In a dark jungle build, adding more dirt only on the last hit before the drop is a great move. That final horn can feel way more aggressive without making the whole section sound overloaded. If the horn is too sharp or pokey, try reducing the transient a bit instead of just lowering the volume. Tighten the decay, soften the attack, or use gentle compression. Often the problem isn't level. It's that the transient is arriving in the wrong shape. Now for space. This macro should control the sense of size around the horn. Map it to reverb dry slash wet, decay, maybe pre-delay, and if you want, some echo feedback for a dubby tail. The trick here is restraint. You want enough space for the horn to feel bigger than the sample itself, but not so much that it smears the kick and sub. In old-school D&B, the space around a sound is often what makes it feel huge. A useful starting point is a short to medium decay, a fairly low wet amount, and a high pass on the reverb return so the low end stays clean. Then automate the space to rise only in the final one or two bars, before the drop. That late bloom gives the transition extra drama. Next up, width. Use the width macro to control utility width or any stereo expansion idea you've built into the rack. Keep the core hit centered and disciplined, and let the width mostly affect the tail or supporting layer. That's a proper D&B move. The center needs to stay strong for the kick, snare, and sub. If the horn gets too wide too early, it can start fighting the arrangement instead of enhancing it. If you layer two horn copies, keep one centered and maybe pan the other slightly off-center. High pass the side layer a bit more so the low-mid energy doesn't pile up. That gives you width without losing punch. Now let's connect the horn to the drums and bass phrasing. This part is huge. Don't just place the horn randomly on downbeats because it sounds cool. Let it answer the groove. In jungle, the horn often works better in the gaps after a snare fill, or at the end of a four-bar phrase where the drums need a punctuation mark. A classic arrangement idea might look like this. The first four bars are mostly break and atmosphere, then the horn enters at the end of the next phrase, maybe on the last beat of bar 7, with the filter opening as it hits. Then later, it repeats with a slightly late offset, and by the final bar before the drop, it becomes wider, dirtier, and more spacious. That progression matters. Contrast is what makes the horn feel exciting. If every hit is the same, the ear stops caring. And that leads us to the automation strategy. Instead of automating every individual device separately, automate the macros. That's the whole point of building the rack. For example, offset can move a little through the build, then settle. Tone can sweep from dark to bright. Dirt can rise only in the last bar or two. Bass can swell late and then cut right at the drop. Width can open up near the end and return to normal after the hit. Tension can control filter resonance or echo feedback for that last second squeeze. This is a really effective way to work, because it keeps the movement musical and easy to perform. You can even ride the macros live while the build loops. Record your best pass into arrangement, and then refine it afterward. That live performance approach is actually one of the best ways to get something organic. You're not just drawing curves. You're reacting to the groove. A few pro tips here. If the horn feels weak, don't immediately turn it up. Try moving the transient earlier or tightening the decay so the attack reads faster. If the horn keeps masking your snares, reduce the bright tail before you reduce the volume. That usually preserves the impact while clearing space. And a small moment of silence before the horn can make it feel way bigger than adding more effects. In a high-energy breakbeat context, absence is a powerful tool. Also, check the horn in mono. D&B systems can be brutal, and if the horn falls apart in mono, the hype disappears fast. The core hit should still feel solid even when the width gets pulled back. Here's a simple practice approach. Build an 8-bar riser. Load the horn into simpler, make the rack, map at least offset, tone, dirt, and space, then program horn notes on bar 7 and bar 8. Offset the second note slightly late, sweep tone from dark to bright, add a little dirt only on the final bar, and raise space just before the drop. Then cut the space hard at the drop so the transition stays tight. Duplicate that clip and make a second version that's about 20% more aggressive. Then compare them. One will probably feel more controlled, the other more dangerous. Pick the one that serves the track, and that's really the point of this lesson. The air horn isn't there just to be loud. It's there to shape the phrase, pull against the groove, and make the drop feel inevitable. In jungle and old-school D&B, the best horn hits feel like they're leaning into the beat right before everything explodes. So treat the offset like a groove choice. Shape the transient, not just the volume. Use macros to perform the build instead of over-editing it. Keep the low end clean, the center solid, and the tail under control. If you do that, your air horn stops being a novelty and starts becoming a real transition weapon. Now go build that rack, ride the macros, and make the drop feel rude.